Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think there's a big mistake that, and it's not just Cleveland, it's not just NBA, it's not just, it's everywhere. I think there's a huge mistake that we make as fans and as media members in how we talk about playoff teams. Can you guess what it is?
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Well, yeah, that wasn't a guess, though. It was a good drop.
I don't have a guess. Go.
So, we...
Enlighten me.
I'll try. We always assume that from year to year, a team is going to take a step forward. And what I mean by that is, we think that progress in any sport when it comes to building a team is linear. And it's just not. Like, for instance, the Cavs are a worse team this year than last year. They both have the 4 seed, but if you look at it in a lot of different metrics, including their win-loss, that team is better than this team. And fortunately, the rest of the Eastern Conference took a step back this year from what was loaded last year to this year. But we assume, all right, you're a play-in team this year. Next year, you're going to go win a playoff series. The year after that, or maybe year one's a play-in. Year two is a playoff series. Year three is winning a playoff series. Year four is you're going to win maybe 2 playoff series. Maybe by year five, you'll be in the Eastern Conference titles. And the reality is that's not how it works for a myriad of different reasons. And I think that's impacting the way I'm thinking about the Cavaliers. Because I heard, did you catch any of David Thorpe on with the guys, the Morning Boys?
No, I just missed that.
He did a great, you were listening right there at 9:43 for Mitch, please.
So I was listening to the show when I was driving to tennis this morning, and then I just missed that. I got to tennis about 9:30.
So he said something that I heard 1,000 times while I was out. And it's not, I'm not here to say that it is definitively wrong, but it plays into this mentality of, well, last year you got bounced out in the first round of the playoffs, so this year making it through the first round would be a success. Here's David Thorpe on with the Morning Boys earlier today.
Rookies aren't playing. Evan's in his third year. He's going to be 23 years old in a few months. That's young. Trust me, that's young, but he's not just starting out. Obviously, veterans everywhere else. Niang and Donovan Mitchell were on the best team in the league together when they were in Utah. And I don't care what happened in the playoffs. They were by far the best team in the league during the regular season. And Ashley Niang was a very good defender in his last year and a half or so in Utah. Not as much in Philly and definitely hasn't done as well this year for Cleveland. But I think this team was built to win. I was really high on them going into the season, and I've been very disappointed. I don't know if there's any question. If you look at narrative, if they can turn it around, I don't care what Orlando's scoring problems are. If Cleveland wins this series, even if the game seven goes 12 overtime, just getting out of the first round, that's progress. You have to start somewhere, and so this would be a great way to rally the troops, so to speak, certainly in game one, and get a lead and get some swagger back, because I think it's certainly needed right now.
So he said something there. He said, getting out of the first round is progress. Just in and of itself, that line, do you buy that?
Yes, to some degree.
Go on.
I mean, it's bigger progress than losing in the playoff tournament to Brooklyn. It's bigger progress than losing to the Knicks in a very gentlemanly sweep.
So I would say I think it's a conditional yes. So I think we're kind of in the same ballpark. My problem is just, like, guys, they should beat the Magic. Like, we should not be debating this right now. Can we all be honest? Like, this should not, we should be saying, we just got to make short work of this young Magic team that has never been in the playoffs, that do not have a player in Paolo Banchero and Wagner. These are nice players. They're not to the level of Donovan Mitchell. Like, you've got the best player in the matchup. You've got the best team in the matchup. You've got the most playoff experience in the matchup. And you can even make a case that stylistically, like, Like David also talked about, Darius played some of his best basketball this year against Boston. Well, the rest of the Cavaliers did a pretty damn good job against Orlando. So, like, I just think it's really interesting how that's not how we're looking at this. We're not looking at the Cavs as we should, which is we should be looking past Orlando. There's nothing, I mean, Paolo Banchero's a really nice player. Franz Wagner is a really nice player. They've got a bunch, they're good. I'm not saying they're not good. Jamal Mosley actually still might be the better coach in this series, but we'll find out over the next, because I can't say that definitively because he's never coached in the playoffs before. So you even look at kind of the recent data. Yeah, Orlando's defense was not as good post March 1. Like, Orlando is a pretty flawed team for a 5 seed. And yet, so if you win, you should absolutely get credit for it. We should also acknowledge this is the expectation. We shouldn't be sitting here juggling, well, can they, should they, will they? No. Cavs are the better team. They've got the best player. They've got the more experience. So I can give them partial credit. You did what you haven't done, okay? But it all relies, or it all lies on and falls on what they do in the second round, hypothetically. Because if you beat the Magic, and let's say you sweep them. Let's get wacky. Let's get wild. Let's say you sweep the Magic, but you go out against Boston and got swept. Good feeling's gone. So do I think that it's important that the Cavs, listen, there's no scenario where we can feel good about the Cavs going forward if they get bounced out in this series. So just, hey, you did something you didn't do last year. And Orlando is a physical team. Maybe that's a matchup problem in the playoffs for them. We saw how New York dominated you last year. Magic really can't score, but that's a good defensive team. But I'll only feel as good as how you look in that next round. And I don't, because I think that's easy to say. What I mean is, I then want to see you continue to be competitive. And I want to see you continue to build winning habits that you didn't in the final 20 games of the year.
Yeah, you know, one thing I think about all the time is what we're thinking about with this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to be a dogfight against Orlando. Let's say the playoffs began like late February or like the middle of February when the Cavaliers were on their hot streak. We would be thinking they're going to just steamroll the Magic.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wonder if, you know, we know how we feel in our take on, you know, what's going on with this playoff series. I wonder if the players feel it too. I wonder if the players feel like, man, we've really kind of gone off the rails here a little bit.
I think if Mark Price talked about the consistency with the Cavs. You and I have talked about, well, there's a lack of identity. There's something not where it needs to be here. And I don't know, you know, there have been no reports about whether it's between the coaches and the coach and the player. Although we have, I mean, I think David Thorpe did suggest that he thinks, not inside knowledge, but from how he perceives the Cavs, he think maybe JB isn't being perceived and received the way that that maybe he had previously. But maybe it's in between players. I don't know. But the Cavs are too good, even with the injuries. Because the injuries matter, but they're not the only thing that matters. The Cavs are too good. And now most of these guys have been playing together mm-hmm. for long enough. Even though we're only, 160 games into Donovan? 170 games with a playoff last year. Like, you're only 170 games into Donovan here in Cleveland. That's still, even with him missing 20 or 30 games this year, you should still have enough time where it looks different the way it has. But I think what's interesting is, and this gets back to something we were talking about earlier in the show, the idea of the uncertainty with the Cavaliers and whether you think the Cavs are a likable team. And I wonder, we're talking about the linear way of winning. It's a myth. It doesn't happen. That's not how it happens. And if it does, it's the rarity. You don't go from play-in, then you go to round one, and then you go to round two, and then you win round two, and then you go to It's much more jumbled up. Look at the Celtics the last decade. Actually, since they drafted Tatum and Brown, and look how long it took for them to kind of figure it out. Did the Cavs have time, though, to go step at a time?
No, they don't. And this thing all of a sudden has come to a head where we thought this group, this core, was going to be it, right? And this window, albeit sort of small, is sort of closing right now. And I think next year's team is going to be a complete overhaul of what we see right now.
So it's funny. I don't think the window's closing, but I can't refute you feeling that way. Because I think people do feel that way. I think the window, as long as you, whether it's JB, Donovan, Darius, Evan, Jarrett, as long as you continue to make smart moves regarding those five, whether that's fire JB or keep JB. To this point, I don't think they've made the right moves. But, I mean, again, they did give him a chance, taking over for Beeline, and that was the right move. But whether it's trading Darius and Donovan or trading one of those two or trading neither of them, as long as you continue to have those guys in your roster and you keep winning enough games to make a playoff spot, I think you're going to have a chance. The Cavs kind of built this whole thing this year under the idea of, well, it's all in the playoffs. We got to see what we have next year in the playoffs. We want to see it again. The flawed logic in that is, well, what if it doesn't go the way you want it to?
Right.
And that's what I think is where we're at. Like, I think that's where you're at. It feels like the window is closing to some people because the Cavs said, well, hey, we're not going to make any significant moves. We're not going to fire the coach. We're not going to trade JB or Darius or Evan or Jarrett or really anything other than ancillary pieces until we see what happens in next year's playoffs. Well, now those playoffs are here, and they're coming off 20 games where they look like a 500 team. More thoughts of the Cavaliers here and whether they have time to go one step at a time. Because I feel like time is the one thing we all feel like the Cavaliers don't have, but you know, earlier in the show, you had said off the air that we have a tornado warning for the area in the listening area here, which I believe is I thought we were under tornado watch. So I'm pretty sure
it's a watch now. It was a warning earlier.
Are you sure? Did it start?
Well, you know what? It could be a watch.
Okay, so
they both start with W.
That's fair. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is it is at that point that Jax told me, he's like, it's a tornado warning. And I said, I'd be pretty surprised if it's a warning. Usually you're going to start out as a watch. And depending, unless the storms just blow right in, at which point we probably see it out there. And he's like, watch, warning. What's the difference? Which there is a difference.
I mean, there's a significant difference.
Yeah, a tornado warning means there's a tornado on the ground. And you need to
seek
shelter.
Well, it just
shelter.
Means that there's been sighting of like things that could be leading to that.
So tornado watch is that the conditions are right for a tornado. Those are pretty significant differences, those two things.
Yeah, I agree.
And Jax, you get on the mic, defend yourself.
I seriously don't see how there's that big of a difference between these things. A warning, yes, I get it, is right, that's been spotted.
Okay.
A watch is, what, like you said, the weather is right. But I really feel like they mean the exact same thing. Like in the
no,
same
they,
way.
They literally
we can play
don't.
Your comments back to yourself and see if that makes sense to you again.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know how to explain it, but like.
That's apparent at this point. All right. So would you say the Cavs are an upset watch or the Cavs are an upset warning?
I feel like it's the same thing.
No.
Is it not the same thing
at
all?
So the Cavs are an upset watch. They have not lost to the Magic yet in the playoffs, but the Magic have been the better team over the final 20 games of the season, and the Cavs are not as healthy as you'd like them to be. So you're on watch. Cavs warning, if you're on upset warning,
would be like if they're down
3-0. Or if they just lost this first game, they'd be on upset warning.
I get what you're saying, but I feel like it also could be warning because of the same facts you just stated about the second half of the season. Like, that could be a warning to us that they could be on an upset.
Okay, now we're just...
I mean...
No, because that's not how the watch and warning system actually works.
To me, that's how it works.
Well, but that's... No, see, this is a problem. This is not a do-your-own-research type situation,
Jax. Did you argue with your teachers about this stuff?
I think He's arguing with one of his teachers now. You are how old, Jax?
22.
Okay. 22 is the perfect time to figure out the difference between watch and warning, because you do live in Ohio, which, if I'm correct, I saw a stat the other day that we've had more tornadoes than any other state to this point in, I think, this last four-week period. Probably something you want to know. I'm not saying, you know, it's twisters and an F5 is going to come your way. A F1's still going to screw up your day. So just, you know.
Warning watch. It means nothing to me. It's the same thing.
All right, 216-474-0092. We had to do this with the damn eclipse, so I guess we'll have to do this now. If you can, if there's a meteorologist out there listening, if you can help convert Jax and bring some truth to this young man.
Let me just point out that machine to your left, if there's a warning, like right around here, it's going to turn on automatically. If it's just a watch, it won't.
Yeah, and they'll say tornado warning. They won't say it's either a tornado watch or a tornado warning. They're very definitive in which one they're going to use there. Jax, it's so funny. I told you, hey, we're going to make fun of Jax here. And Jax,
I didn't know what about.
Well, because I didn't want to give it away with Jax here in the room. And my favorite thing about it is Jax was like, wait, what are you going to make fun of me for? So even Jax forgot the thing that I was going to make fun of Jax for. 216-474-0092. Hunter, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Listen, I apologize for being disingenuous, but I'm actually calling because I would like a job for your show.
All right. Is it to be bored up?
I work for free, you know.
That's just the right price.
No price at all. I just want to be part of the greatness that is this afternoon drive.
All right. Wow. All right. Did you have something else to say?
Yeah. I did some storm chasing with tornadoes for a little bit. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's a good resume.
It's okay.
I got magna cum laude bachelor's degree. Experience in the world of any field you can think of, carpentry, restaurant, chef.
All right, real quick, before we let you go, can you please explain the difference to Jax here between a watch and a warning?
Yeah, absolutely. A watch means that the weather has potential conditions for a tornado. A warning means literally that a tornado approach on the ground is imminent, meaning it can or would happen in any given moment. The watch just means that it's possible. The warning means that, hey, there may very well be a tornado on the ground at any second right now.
Hunter,
it means stay indoors.
We appreciate it, but we got to go, okay?
Yep.
Thank you. Mostly because the whole time Hunter was talking there, I was like, don't curse again. Don't curse again. For the love of God, don't curse again. Just because I wanted yet another person to give the exact description of watch and warning, which I did, which Jax is still shaking his head on as we do this. So we're going to move on. Because at this point, if you do get caught in a twister, that's on you, dog. I've done the best that I can possibly do for you. Do you know the difference? You guys know the difference between watch and warning. Robert saying tornado watch only currently .. Jack CLE 512. I was screwing around today at work and my boss gave me a verbal watch. Yeah. See what he did there? And V Cleveland saying, explain it this way, guys. Warning means take shelter now. There you go. The more you know.
The more you know.
Did you know the difference?
I did. No, I 100% did.
Okay, all right.
But I don't recollect.
Yeah.
I don't have a recollection of what I actually read off my phone.
Okay.
I just saw a tornado and then either said watch or warning. Okay. It may have just been a watch. But a watch is definitely not as severe. I know that. I've known that since I was a child.
So back to the one thing the Cavs don't. That's a good shot. That's a really good shot at Jax there.
It was unintentional.
Oh, that sounded very intense.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Intentional.
It was totally unintentional.
I mean, there was even like
I can see where you could take it personal.
I've known that since I was a child.
Yeah. Well, no, you got it's the way he said it. I've known that since I was a child. Like only a grown moron wouldn't know the difference between the two of those. So the thing the Cavs don't have, it is time. And I think that is you've known from the start. I didn't know I had things that they could have done last offseason that maybe would have made me feel better about their chances this year. You know the other thing that they could have done that would have made me feel better about their chances this year, Dustin? They could have won.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about, because the win-loss record, guys, throw it out the window. What really matters is how did you play at the end of the season? And unfortunately, I would say your worst stretch of basketball was in your final 25-30% of the season. And yes, health is a part of that. That doesn't change the fact you still played a lot of really inconsistent bad basketball. And so, you know, we got into the conversation of progress and what is progress for the Cavaliers. I think the simplest way to put this is, I'm not saying that you can't show progress by winning the first round. But everything now, it's not as cut and dry as make it to the second round and that's progress. And I think that is really unnerving if you're a Cavs fan,
mm-hmm.
like you and I are. Because it's like, well, I just want to be excited about the team. I'd love to be where Lima is, where Lima for the last 30 games has been like, but their record. But they're not healthy. And there have been, just wait to the playoffs. Okay, those are all great. Now it doesn't matter. Now it is, you got to win 4 games out of the next 7 games, your ass is going home. And I think that's where the fear is of this is you-know-what or get off the pot time, and I'm not entirely sure they're that close to getting off the pot.
They're not getting off the pot. I'm convinced of that.
Are you going to lock it in a first-round loss there?
No, I think it's going to go 7 games, though.
Hmm. Okay.
I'll be at game 7 if they have one.
Brent saying, Taco Watch, get ready. Everything you need for tacos is on the table. Everything should be food waste-based with me, by the way. Taco warning, get to your seat. Tacos have arrived. All right? 21 Fit saying, fat guy thinking here. Cake watch. We have the ingredients to make a cake. Cake warning, get ready for some effing cake.
All right. But a watch is definitely not as severe. I know that. I've known that since I was a child.
It really is.
I really emphasized the child.
You really did. Like, that was shade. Whether you intended it, it doesn't matter. That was full shade thrown. And that is shade warning now for you, Jax. We are now off shade watch. It was shade watch when I told you we were going to talk about you. Now it is officially a warning because that bleep just happened. I was thinking about this a lot today and listening to how people are talking about the Cavs going into the playoffs. And specifically, how people are still stung and wounded by how the Cavs lost in the playoffs last year. Does last year's playoff loss still bug you the way it bugs me?
Yeah, it was brutal. I remember I was watching it, a bunch of it. I was in Pittsburgh for the weekend and watched, I think, 2 of the games I wound up watching there. And I was really pissed off because I was in the sports book in Pittsburgh and was wagering on the Cavaliers. And it was tough, dude. It was really tough.
So part of my frustration or concern going into these playoffs is 100% tied in the last year. There's just no way to even deny it. That's in the back of our mind every time we watch this team lose an inexplicable game in the second half. That's what we thought about. Can I also tell you, though, you know the other thing that's on my mind is the Cavs going to the playoffs?
What's that?
The Browns' disappointing playoff appearance this year. And you know what made me think about it was the fact that both games were the first playoff game. Like for the Cavs, you're the 1 p.m. game. For the Browns, what were they, the Saturday at 4:30 game? And I actually heard somebody use the logic about the Cavs. I saw somebody on social media use the logic we have that we used for the Browns. Well, I want to be the first playoff game so I can sit back and enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Except the opposite happened, and the Browns lost, and the rest of that first round of the playoffs were friggin' miserable. I heard them say the same thing about this game. I want that first game to get out of the way so I can just, like, be happy about the Cavs and just... I think that's the craziest thing in the world. Because the reality is, like, if you ask me right now, and I'll ask you in a moment, if you said, which playoff disappointment do I expect to be learned from or improved upon, the Cavs from last year or the Browns in 2024, I don't know. Because there's four answers. It's either the Cavs will avenge their playoff loss, and you expect that. It's the Browns will avenge their most recent one in January. Both or neither.
Well, the one with the Browns is interesting because I don't know that even if they win that game, we had any expectations. That was just like...
It's like house money.
Correct, because you had Joe Flacco playing. And, you know, just to even get there in that situation was pretty impressive, right? And, you know, maybe you win that game and we see what happens. But, like, I didn't expect them to do much of anything because Deshaun was hurt. So I don't really feel like you have to avenge it. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't sting. Yeah, how they lost stings.
I think, and I was one of those people, I thought you had the perfect first-round matchup. It was a young team, rookie quarterback, first-year head coach. That was a team that honestly was just a great team and maybe was short on talent in some ways, looking on the defensive side of it. Like, they had a bunch of role players kind of showing up, and in the playoffs you expect role players to kind of just be role players. So, like, I thought the Browns were guaranteed to go to the second round. And I think that's what makes it, like, I think last year, and I, by the way, felt the same way about the Cavs. Going into last year, I was so cocky. I thought the Knicks were a good regular season team, but I thought they were the kind of team that has been the Knicks. Really good regular season under Thibodeau, and then you go into the playoffs and get skunked. It was the Cavs that got skunked. 216-474-0092. Which playoff disappointment do you expect to actually be avenged? The Cavs avenging last year's loss to the Knicks. The Browns this next season avenging the playoff loss to the Texans. Neither or both? I think both have a chance. This could also be neither. Because the problem is, like, the problem with this team is everything we've talked about all show. The problem with the Browns is the reason why the biggest doubt is still the quarterback spot. You know, like, and it's funny because my biggest doubt from last year was, is JB, like, is he built for this? And then we went out of the playoffs and then got outcoached by Tibbs. And then, you know, it was, do these guys fit together? Do they have enough shooting? So they still have, by the way, they have more talent than they did last year. But they still have a problem with physicality, and the rotations are still an issue. Oh, and who's going to defer Darius or Donovan?
Well, that's a big question.
Like, do you think this year's matchup is an easier matchup than last year?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't think that the Magic are as physical. I don't think they're as well coached. And I don't think the Cavaliers are intimidated by the Orlando Magic.
So I like that last line you said. I do think, I think the Knicks did something to the Cavs last year. I think the Knicks snatched the Cavs' soul. And I don't know that the Cavs have ever properly recovered. Because every time they played together, they look like the team that got the crap kicked out of them. That's heavy-handed. Look like the team that got run over and bullied by the Knicks. The only time that they looked like the best version of themselves, unbeatable, was when half of their best players were out.
True.
And I think, I actually agree with you, by the way. I do think the Magic are the better. I think the number one reason why I think the Cavs, why I'm not preparing for disappointment. I'm really apprehensive. I'm super anxious. I do not trust this Cavs team at all right now, but that's what this round is for to me. But to me, that's where we are. The Cavs have to earn your trust, and the only way you earn your trust is if you just win this series or if you make them look like the Knicks made you look last year.
That would be amazing, and we would have more confidence going into that series against Boston if they do that. If you go and gentlemen sweep the Magic, oh, I mean, this show is going to be rah-rah. We're going to be pumped up, and yeah, it could change once we get into the series against Boston, but going into it, we're going to think we have a chance.
It's funny you say that.
Yeah.
Because I really have debated what's best for the Cavs. A quick series where they just make quick work of Orlando, and then you have a little bit more time to rest and recuperate, but maybe you don't have enough time together playing healthy before Boston, or whether a series where maybe you play six or seven games, but yet that gives you more time to find your footing together, whether that actually might be the best thing. 9 times out of 10, I say get through the series as quick as possible, because health and injuries make such a difference this time of year. Right, it's no coincidence that the best team in the NBA more often than not doesn't win because unless they're the healthiest team as well. That's what made the Golden State thing. So, like it didn't matter how healthy Golden State was. But by the way, they weren't healthy against Toronto. Toronto was healthier. Toronto wins.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.